Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be Dan Gertzikoff of Focus Brands. And today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, Northeast Color, and Franchise Payments Network. Looking for something buzzworthy to reward your customers and your business with? Pollinate is an all-inclusive loyalty and gift card technology company focused on the franchise space. Powered by Franchise Payments Network, they work with your team to help you create a reward system that engages your customers, boosts sales, and frequency. With Pollinate, franchise systems enjoy a 17% ticket lift and 50% increase in customer visits for those enrolled in the program. With Pollinate, everybody will earn, redeem, enjoy, and repeat. To learn more, check out Pollinate at pollinate.com/marketing. Okay, today's franchise spotlight is on Dan Gertzikoff. He's the Chief Commercial Officer at Focus Brands. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here. A pleasure to say hello to all your listeners. I'm a fan of the podcast.
Thanks so much. Oh, I'd love to hear that. And I'd love to get your take on what's going on in the world of restaurants here in August and September of 2020. Wow. Before we get there, give us a little bit of your backstory.
Wow, that's a big question. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to answer it all so quickly, but I'll do my best. Look, the first and foremost, like most restaurant groups, we are focusing on the health and safety of our consumers as well as our staff and franchisees and their staff. So that is, and I think we have made, like many in the restaurant industry, great strides there. It is a great show of unity of how we've been able to come together as an industry, to, given everything that's happened through the pandemic, going forward. And so that is first and foremost, making it a safe place to work, to eat, to operate. That's where our primary focus has been. Going forward, I think it's lucky in the case that I spent so many years at Digital and spent so many years at Google and in this space, because now more than ever, physical and digital are coming together for the restaurant space. You know, where orders start, where they people, you know, have them delivered, have them picked up, how they want to transact, loyalty. The industry is coming up on it in its digital transformation, much like other industries like media, other industries like retail, financial services, other industries have gone through, as is our industry right now as well. So it's an exciting time to be in restaurants. It's been a lot of fun. And I'll put in my plug in right now, we're hiring. I'm looking for folks with that digital background and interest that love food to get into this space.
That is great to hear. So people with a digital background, especially like yourself, you were a Google guy for many years, right?
That's right. I started in Google in 2006. It was relatively early days at Google. Not early enough. I missed the IPO in 2004, but I was there relatively early. I started in New York City in Google's foray into traditional television advertising, with working alongside some really talented folks to try to build out a solution on AdWords to buy television. That was probably an idea before its time. And it was an addressable, being able to be more measurable in television advertising, which is happening right now, many years later. I went from that experience down to international. I spent another few years running and opening up offices for Google in Latin America. So I opened up offices in Chile and Peru and Colombia. It was an exciting time, because we were, in many ways, people, you know, planting a digital flag in these countries. And it wasn't about Google or buying AdWords. It was about, how could digital help accelerate your economy? How could digital provide an outcome for better employment opportunities? So that was real interesting experience. You know, I managed about 20 countries in Latin America. And then I decided to stay. My wife is from Bogota, Colombia, and that's where we were living. So I decided to stay in Colombia. I did a fintech startup trying to reinvent credit scoring using social media and app data to give people access to credit that have never had credit before. Again, this is more of an emerging markets issue. Most people in the U.S. do have access to credit. There is credit scores that most people get access to. That is not the case in Asia and in Latin America. And we thought big data and data science could solve for that. And that was a venture-backed startup that I was the regional CEO for. And then from there, I made the transition into restaurants. And people were like, well, why would you go from
right
and, you know, fintech and big data science into restaurants? Well, first and foremost, I have a passion and hobby for food. I actually almost went to culinary school right out of college instead of what I ended up doing, taking a Fulbright scholarship. So I ended up in culinary school a year later, realized that it's a great hobby, a very difficult profession to be a professional chef. But I was looking for a way of getting my hobby, my passion, into the center of my workday. And getting into the restaurant space was a great way to do that. And also at the time, you know, I had a relationship, a mentor relationship. I was the mentee of the gentleman who's the largest franchisee of anything in the world. He has the master franchise rights for McDonald's in 20 countries.
Wow.
Mexico down. There's a footprint of 2,200 McDonald's. And in talking to him, he said, look, we need to turn around the company. We need a digital transformation. This is in 2014. And I joined, I decided to take the plunge and joined the company as the chief digital officer, eventually became the chief marketing officer. And about now over a year ago, I transitioned to a similar role at Focus Brands, where I, you know, initially I started as a chief marketing officer and then have now evolved my role into the chief commercial officer. So it's and again, we were making these investments like many restaurant groups before the pandemic. The pandemic has accelerated consumer expectations on how they can, like I said, interact with the brand, make an order, have it delivered, have it for pickup, be able to, you know, do a transaction, have a relationship. All those things are now being enabled by digital in the restaurant industry. So we were with the right plan at the right time with the right strategy to really mitigate a lot of the drop in demand. Like, it's been a hard time for the industry, but our digital capability has been able to mitigate some of that. And we've been able to save some of our franchise, keep some of our franchisees in business based on the investments we made in digital.
Tell me more about that title, Chief Commercial Officer. That's very unique. What does it include?
Yeah, so, I've always looked at the marketing and digital function as a commercial role, right? We're trying to make guests, customers' lives easier and trying to ring the cash register at the same time. So that is, and that has been, you know, I look over the last 20 years, that has been a link between all the things that I've done. Even in my nonprofit, we were trying to figure out, earlier in my career, I was in a nonprofit role. And in that nonprofit, we were trying to help companies do well by doing good. So this doing well concept is built into my responsibilities. I'm directly responsible for our digital capabilities. So that means, how do customers transact with us via the web, via mobile? What's the loyalty construct? How do we think about engaging with consumer-facing technology in the restaurants? So I've got that footprint and a group of product people and API engineers sitting over a MarTech stack, you know, looking at after that capability. The second piece is what we refer to as demand generation. And that is, I mean, another, you know, it's a fancier way to say something we've been saying in the industry for the last 10 or 15 years, which is kind of paid, owned, and earned media. And how to put that to best use, leveraging digital as not a capability, but digital as a media, if you will. So I've got the demand generation where a lot of our advertising sits, and how, what is best practice, and how do we look like? We've got 7 brands with 7 different, you know, consumer targets, 7 different geographical footprints, 7 different budgets. How do we get the best ROI from those investments?
Tell me a little bit about that structure with the 7 brands. I assume they all have very unique programs going on, but yeah. How much are they working together or sharing resources?
We do a ton. I mean, my group's primary function is that, as a center of excellence. So we work with them, and both from the bottoms up, them giving us examples of what's working, and then from the tops down, us taking examples from other industries and, you know, kind of understanding where the, not where the puck is, but where the puck is going. We publish, like, what does best in class look like, right? So we create playbooks and frameworks that they can all leverage and use. Another big component of our work is to say, here's, rather than having seven different vendors for any one thing, let's come together and operate with more scale. So let's use one vendor, have one negotiation, and be able to have this one set of performance metrics to make ourselves and our vendor partners accountable. And then the third piece is then working on the deployment. I mean, our brands are the closest to the customers and our franchisees. And, you know, our brands are closest to our franchisees are closest to the customers. And as a result, we have to create a virtuous loop where we're, you know, kind of taking what's working from outside, writing those playbooks, you know, really fulfilling our role as a franchisor, but then adapting those best practices based on what's working. So to answer your question, we do a lot of best practice sharing. We do, you know, take this approach where what could we do together? Is it bigger than the sum of its parts? And that's a final, just to finish off what a chief commercial officer does. It's a great example to answer this last question too, is we built a discipline around revenue management. And revenue management, many people would say, well, I get that, you know, beverage companies have been dealing with revenue management, or packaged goods have been dealing with revenue, airlines or hotels. What does revenue management have to do with the restaurant industry? And it has been opened up my eyes over the last now 6 years that I've been in the industry, how much opportunity there is to take some of those concepts and apply them in our restaurants. I'll give you three examples. The first is, what is the role for everything on our menu? Like, we think about our menus and we want, obviously, give products that customers love, but we probably need a product that anybody, if somebody's on a budget trying to feed a family, you know, that you can get the bang for your buck. So within that layer, that ladder is going to be important. And then what is, if you want to splurge on yourself, and you can splurge at a fast food restaurant too, you can get a premium product, get a larger product. What's the role that has on the menu? So that is not, we have a culinary team that are really good at making delicious things. The role for the revenue management team is to instruct them, hey, you're missing this rung on the ladder. You know, what we need something that we can sell for, you know, whatever, $4.99 as a combo, but it's got to be delicious. And then our chefs, you know, run out and figure out what they can do at that price point with the products that they have. So that's a big example of revenue management applied to menu strategy. There's a second, as it applies to pricing, where most people would go, you know, with their head when they say revenue management, they think pricing. Well, pricing is a big piece. Like, if you put two products, you know, only 10 cents apart, then you're probably going to get trade down in our industry. You know, you need to create a little bit of space in between products, so the customers also associate and can see the value for money they get with one product or another. And that's really research driven. There are, you know, price elasticities and some of this basic stuff from, you know, college economics, microeconomics is applied in our industry, or could be applied with a lot more rigor. And the final piece is thinking about how do we make, how do we get the right offer to the right customer at the right time? Now, you and I could be in, you know, when the malls open back up, and they are opening up around the country, you know, we go into a mall, you go into a food court, you and I could be looking at that menu, and I'm looking at the menu saying, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay in line because I've only got, you know, $5 in my pocket. And you're in line saying, I'm going to order from this restaurant regardless of the price. Everybody's got different criteria. That is exactly the moment where I should get an offer saying, hey, 20% off if you come to Cinnabon right now, as in one of our brands that has a mall footprint. And that ability to know who is that customer, when is the right time, what is the right offer, that is a digital capability. You know, it's enabled by your mobile app and a bunch of technology. It has to do with customer relationship management and big data. but it's really deciding that that 20% is for you and 10% for somebody else and 0%, or give them, you know, advance notice of the Katy Perry concert. That's what they really value. That ability, our revenue management team also leans into. It's all almost behavioral science, more so than it is just data science. And it's a really exciting, I think, different approach to the restaurant industry than many of my peers and many of our competitors. We are trying to play chess while our competitors play checkers when it comes to revenue management.
I love that. I love that analogy. You've got a new program, a new gift card program. Does that sort of play into the idea of the right offer at the right time for some of these folks? Tell me about that program.
Well, very much so. That gift card program, there's two things that that does. One is that it leverages having seven brands available in 3,800 locations that just give consumers convenience, right? So if I'm going to give somebody, the idea of giving a gift card is that I know they love Auntie Anne's. I know they love Jamba Juice. I know. So I want to be a good giver, and because I know that they love these iconic brands, and giving them more flexibility and more convenience is just more of a better gift. So we were able to bring, rather than each one of our brands only having an individual gift card, we're able to bring them all together on one gift card. And if you want to go to one brand and use that gift card, or you want to go to all seven, we're just giving more convenience to customers. So that's the inception of the concept. It'll be available at over 13,000 retail locations.
Wow.
By the end of the year. And it's in Walmart and Target and your grocery store, available also online. You can buy the gift card, you know, directly through us. But I want to tell you a different part of that story, because it's really a reflection of the times that we're in. When we were getting ready to launch this card, one of our partners, one of our vendor tech partners, came to us and said, look, I know we're in the middle of a pandemic. I've been following your social media. I see that you guys are delivering, you know, Jamba Juices to frontline workers and Auntie Anne's pretzels and Cinnabons and across, you know, Moe's burritos. All of our seven brands were individually involved. We want to help. We want to buy $5,000 worth of your food so we can donate it to frontline workers.
Wow.
And it was a great, you know, great way of coming together. But our answer, and this we wouldn't have been able to do before, like digital and this strategy brought it together. Our answer was, why, instead of just buying food from one of our partners, why not buy this gift card and let the frontline worker, or let a nonprofit that works with frontline workers decide what they need? Do they need a juice? Do they need a Cinnabon? Do they need a burrito? Like, why should we limit it with one brand or pre-purchase? Let's let them decide. So when we did that, we then opened it up to all of our vendors and said, do you want to buy, you know, these gift cards and make them available to frontline workers? When we used our scale across the seven brands and all of our, we have dozens of vendors, we donated 26,000 meals to frontline workers over the last couple months. That's almost $200,000 worth of food that went right into the hands of your hospital workers, your nurses, your police officers, your firefighters. All of that happened because we had enabled this multi-brand gift card that our vendors wanted to be part of. And ultimately, it also helps our franchisees. You know, these sales go right to them. It helps our franchisees through a difficult moment. So we have now taken that gift card, and rather just being at a B2B gift card, we've now launched it as B2C. Your listeners could buy a gift card now and have it donated through a nonprofit partner. So this we know is going to go directly to frontline workers, 100% of the proceeds. And Focus Brands will also match another 10% on top of that. So we're giving an incentive to get all of the consumers out there to get involved and not only do a good thing by helping frontline workers, but they're also helping small businesses around the country stay afloat. And that's exactly what we are. We are a network in the US of almost 4,000 small businesses operating across the country, making your pretzels, making your buns, rolling your burritos, sandwiches and salads at McAllister's and Slotsky's. That is what our Focus Brands is all about, and coming together to help our consumers, help our community and help our franchisees. That's why I love this industry.
I love that story. And if our listeners want to get some more information or maybe see how they can get one of those Mix It Up gift cards, where can we send them?
Okay, so I'm going to give you guys the right now the URL. So everybody kind of take note for a second. The URL is really easy to remember. It's called giftcardmix.com. And it's a real fun brand. We played it off of like kind of an 80s throwback to a mixtape.
Oh, cool.
Seven cool brands operating on one gift card, just like a mixtape. And right there, giftcardmix.com, you can go, you can do the transaction online, you can have it delivered physically or digitally to a frontline worker, and we will make your donation happen on top of that from Focus Brands to all of you. That's available
fantastic.
Only for the next month. So
that's fantastic. We'll have a link to that on the Social Geek Radio website and in the show notes today as well. Dan, thanks so much for sharing those stories. We would love to have you back on again sometime soon and get a little bit of an update on how these things are going. But until then, thanks so much, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you to all your listeners. I'd be happy to be back. Really appreciated your time.
And now it's time for the Health and Safety Spotlight, brought to you by Northeast Color. Every week, we're looking at and sharing stories of franchise brands making a difference in health and safety. Okay, first up today, Made Right. Their franchisees are paired with each house using the same insured cleaners for each visit. That's a cool idea. They're also using one of the most powerful disinfecting solutions on the market. It's the brand's proprietary EnviroMist disinfectant, eliminating 99.99% of bacteria and viruses on contact. And the brand's newly introduced online estimator virtually generates the cost to clean a customer's home or office based on a combination of square footage, number of bathrooms, bedrooms, etc. Very cool. Another good one this week, Pool Scouts has announced that they're adding sanitization as part of every service it provides with a bleach solution that sanitizes surfaces technicians come into contact with, including gates, control panels, handrails, and more. The brand ensures that all technicians have the appropriate PPE and training to stay safe on the job, and they're delivering more business training online, including videos that help demonstrate how to properly and effectively keep teams and customers safe, as well as guidance on PPP programs and the CARES Act. If you have any stories about how your franchise system is keeping businesses and homes healthy and safe, let me know. We'll share them here thanks to our friends at Northeast Color. Northeast Color is offering franchise systems help with social distancing floor decals, signs, and window decals, suspended partitions for the front desk or workout stations, parking lot signage, and hand sanitizer pedestals with signage, all fully branded and customized for your franchisees. Learn more now at northeastcolor.com. And thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.